Hey everyone, I hope you enjoy this little clip from the podcast with Jan Maas. There's so many more podcasts like this inserted between chapters of the audiobook and video series version of the book, How to Become a Pro Cyclist, which you can only get at howtobecomeaprocyclist.com. In this podcast, we talked a lot about details and specific numbers and different protocols. So if you enjoy that stuff, the book is full of that stuff. So enjoy this little clip from it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, exactly. So start rules. Yeah.
Man, I heard this. So just the rumors I've heard, I heard this was the hardest single day bike racing a lot of guys had ever done. Is that true?
Yeah. But if you, I think if you finished it, yes. But I, like I pulled out after 200K and then some other guys still had to do 80K. So I think,
All right. Tell me some stats. Let's hear some numbers from this. Cause I heard stuff that was just outrageous.
Well, no, mine actually were also quite high, especially normalized, always, whatever. It wasn't even that I remembered it, to be honest. But Van der Poel, I know that he averaged, I think, around 400 normalized, so for 7 hours. Or no, sorry. 400 normalized, over 400 normalized, so a little bit over, but starting from the crit or like the last 160K or whatever, or 150K. Yeah.
The last 150K, he normalized 400 watts.
That's what he said, huh? Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I mean, he's a big dude, but like, how much does he weigh? 76?
Yeah. 80? No. 80, because he said he was 78 and he needed to gain still 2 kilos for, within 4 days or something, because he says, I'm always good if I'm 80 kilos on a 1 day race. So he had to gain from himself 2 kilos.
That's bonkers. The last 100, but this also doesn't surprise me, because do you remember 2019 Tour of Antalya?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The first stage, like I know this.
I remember that and the story. I remember also, you said it in the book. But I never knew that it was that crazy. But I remember that he was there. I was also there, not in that group. But I remember that in the race, that we were riding full, let's say full titties, with three teams chasing you guys, and you were only gaining time. Yeah,
dude, we were roommates at that race, and you're telling me the week. Oh yeah, he's been skiing for the last week, and I'm like, what the fuck? This guy hasn't lost a race in what, 8 months? And he's been skiing and now he's going to kill us in this. And when he just looked back at me, like, you want to pull through now? Or like when he's pulling at the bottom of the last climb, it's like, it's a 20 minute climb. I'm doing 500 watts in the wheel. Like no human can do this.
Yes. it's incredible. If he has one of those days, also the attack on the course. Yeah. It's just like Pogacar and Van Aert and Pedersen are standing still. Just because he's so explosive. And that's after like 6 hours, you know? Like, that's so impressive.
It's insane. Like, dude, when you watch him going the mountain bike races, like you just watch him just like ride away from Nino Schurter. Like Nino's holding his brakes. And you're like, Nino has won every World Cup for how long? And Vanderpool just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the best bike rider in the world, I think.
And there's something extra if he comes to a race or in a race, then he has just different extra mindset or whatever, you know? Because I do some rides with him and for some reason it's always 6 hours and it's always full gas in Spain. We train together. And then he's more often than not, he's angry or pissed in the last hours because he found that I ride too hard and uphill or like, it was too hot, and then he starts complaining a bit, but I think he needs that extra push, and then he was flying in the world, and that before that he was flying bombers. I did two rides with him, 2 times 6 hours, a week before Flanders, a week before Worlds, exactly the same training, and both of the times complaining the last hour, a little bit slower, but we are riding really hard now. To me, and then that he's fucked and that he's not feeling good, and then I know he's feeling good because if he starts complaining, he's the best. the best version of himself. Yeah.
So you're the guy that gets him worked up in training.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. Does he live in the Netherlands most of the year?
No, yeah, in Belgium, but it's in Spain that we do the rides, and he lives close. He lives close to me in the in Belgium. I live a few hundred meters from the border, so sometimes we train there, but most of the times when we train together in Spain, and there he lives also like 20 kilometers from where I live in Spain.
Okay. Are you going to go back to the same spot in Spain next year?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, I'm still doubting, to be honest. Andorra sounds tempting, also with the tax system, if I can say that on the podcast, but it's the airport and the weather that I'm a bit afraid of in the winter. Like, I was there in July, training was super good, and maybe time went by on the bike the quickest I've ever had. But then on the other hand, that is July and the weather was really good. And I don't know if it's when it's really shit weather. And I mean, and if you, in 1 month, you have to travel 4 times back and forward to Barcelona airport. And it's a 3.5 hour drive every time back and forward, and or a 3 hour bus ride, whatever. Then I don't know if I like that. And then also being in January and February, that's 6 or 8 degrees, or maybe it's always snowing. I don't know. But on the other hand, the positive thing there is that you have a lot of other pros, or like people like what I said already, like-minded. So maybe some guys I know there who live there. So then it's more like nice to have sometimes a coffee or like have the mind switched off a bit of cycling.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of cyclists. So yeah, that's a bit like that's an in between. And yeah, also now if I'm come back to the Netherlands, I still come back to my parents, because I haven't bought anything in the Netherlands or in Belgium yet. Maybe I also want to buy something in Belgium. But then, yeah, training wise, time goes by twice as fast if you train in Spain, just because of the weather, and for me especially the mountains, to be honest, because I don't mind so much if it's rainy or snowy, only that you have to clean the bike and that everything is so dirty. But apart from that, I don't mind it so much. And I think it's also sometimes good for training to harden up a little bit. But in Spain, on the other hand, to prepare for the Vuelta, I did a lot of heat training outside.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that little clip from the podcast with Jan Maas. After this, we started talking more about specific heat training protocols, and then he gave me the rundown and the stats from the Vuelta, which was also just bonkers to hear. I hope you find this stuff interesting, because for me, it was always so motivating to hear these numbers, because then I'd have a specific target to shoot for, to know exactly how I was doing. Even if it was just putting some stat, like 450 watts for 40 minutes at 71 kilos on whichever climb. Then writing that on a small piece of paper, and then I'd tape it to my bedroom door so I'd always see it. Or in 2021, we didn't have any races, so I did this, except I wrote down a list of 5 of the hardest Strava KOMs I could get to on the most famous climbs around where I was living in Austria, or at least within driving distance at the time. And then I taped it to my door, but then I also took a picture of it, and then I emailed that photo to a few people with just the subject line in the email saying, "Don't open this until September 10th. And then I ended up getting all those segments. So even if this sounds silly, that was the idea I came up with, because we didn't have any races, so this was the next best thing I could think of, instead of only sending them segments or power data once you already did it. This was, you know, at least saying you were going to do it and then going and doing it, kind of like, you know, it was the closest thing to when you don't have races. For me, I always loved having goals like this when it was something to do with me getting in good shape, so I could shoot for that, because it's more specific. And it's harder to make winning a specific race a goal, because you might not even know the race calendar yet, or you could just get a flat or crash at the wrong time. If this stuff is interesting to you, I'm sure you'll love the book, How to Become a Pro Cyclist, which you can only get at howtobecomeaprocyclist.com. And if you love this stuff, as always, I don't do any advertising. It's just a way to make these little clips of information free for everyone. But if you wanted to do something awesome for me, it would mean the world to me if you shared it, because you never forget those people that helped you from the very beginning when you were just trying. And it makes you look awesome to everyone as well, because it shows you're the type of person who cheers for other people and doesn't just show off what you've done, but are stoked for other people to do well as well. Okay, thanks everyone. If you need way more stuff to listen to while out training, go to howtobecomeaprocyclist.com and you'll have plenty more hours. So give it a go.